Hallelujah. He arose. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Is Jesus risen in your heart this morning? Come on, somebody answer me back. Is Jesus risen in your life? Amen. Every day we celebrate his resurrection, but we are thankful that the whole world, you know, recognizes that today. But for us, it's every day, actually. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you, Lord. We thank you for the great work of redemption that you sent your son to do for us on the cross. And the Bible says that he nailed the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He nailed it to the cross. He made an open show of principalities and powers. And not only that, he rose again from the dead. He was delivered up for our iniquities and our transgressions. But he rose up again for our justification. And we bless the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning again. Now, today being Resurrection Day, that all over the world, people are celebrating. I thought I'd tell you some stories about the resurrection, similar and so forth. So this morning, roll away the stone. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to start here. It's an interesting story here, a popular story that everybody knows, but there are a lot of valuable lessons and viewpoints to learn from this story. So I'm going to pick my story up from John chapter 11. And many people have heard the story of how Jesus raised up Lazarus. But let's pick the story up here and let's see what the Lord is going to tell us this morning. So we start at John chapter. I'm going to read a lot of verses, so I'm going to go very, very quickly. So put up that chapter for me, John chapter 11, and follow me very quickly because I'm going to go through most of it. Now, John chapter 11, verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and his sister Martha. Now, it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him who thou lovest is sick. Now, so we're going to start right here. I'm going to start picking out the lessons that we see in this story, the lessons of faith packed with the resurrection power that we will see in this story. The first one comes to us from this next verse. Now, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said unto the people, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Can somebody say amen? That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Well, Lazarus did actually die. But Jesus said his sickness is not unto death. So what is it that he was talking about? Well, we'll find out. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. So the first lesson we want to pick out of this story is that God might sometimes even allow some things, some problems, and situations that look as if you can't get out of it. But if you look for God in every situation, you might find out that it's going to be for the glory of God. Amen? That's right. So now Jesus, he loved both Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. That's another lesson right there, you know. And I'm going to say that when I read the next verse. When he therefore heard that Lazarus was sick, he abode 2 more days in the same place where he was. Now, you would think, the Bible said that, well, he loved them, you know, they were close to his heart. And you would think that he would jump up and rush there when he heard that Lazarus was sick. But instead, he waited 2 more days in the same place. He didn't even move. Now, another lesson to learn from that is that it may seem that God is not moving yet in your situation, but he loves you. Amen. He loved them and he has his reasons. In fact, he waited a few more days, you know, and he didn't jump up. It looked like, well,
I mean, he's sick.
Why don't you do something? But he waited. Now, and afterwards he said unto them, well, let's go into Judea again. So, you know, they said, wow, you're going to go into this place? They're looking for you there. He said, never mind. He said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not because he sees the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, now you say, what has this got to do with resurrection? Well, it's all in the same story. If a man walk in the night, he stumbles because there is no light in him. Now, why does this man stumble? Jesus didn't say that the man stumbles because he cannot see the light of the world. No. But he stumbles because there is no light inside of him. You know, so that means if there is light inside of you, regardless of if it is light, if it is dark around you, you will not stumble. Amen. Now, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, he said. Well, I'm going to go and wake him up. And then the disciples didn't understand that. They said, well, you know, if he's sleeping, it'll be fine. You know, they thought that he was talking of taking rest in sleep. You know, but however, Jesus was speaking of his death in verse 13. And when he saw that they didn't understand that he was speaking of his death, then he said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now remember, he said before, this sickness is not unto death. But now he's saying, Lazarus is dead. So it looks like it's a little bit contradictory, but hold on. He goes on to say, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Because maybe if he was there, you know, he could have healed him before he died. But there's something else. There's a new dimension that he's going to show here. I was glad that I wasn't there for your sakes, to the intent that ye may believe. Amen. Nevertheless, let us go on to him. So as the story went, they went out there and so forth. I'm going to skip here. When Mary and Martha heard that they were coming, Martha ran to him and so forth. And here is what it said. When Martha, in verse 21, went to Jesus, she said this, which is similar to what we say sometimes. And here is another lesson to learn. She said, well, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Because we know you could have healed him. You know, we were praying. Now he's dead. Now you show up. You know, and sometimes people think that the Lord delays. But the Lord is never late. Amen. Amen, somebody. The Lord is never late. He's always on time. He knows exactly what he is doing. Now, but there is a greater even lesson. Even though in her mind, she was a little bit distressed that her brother is dead and now the Lord shows up. But there is something that came out of the next thing that she was going to say. The next thing that she said, he said, but I know, hallelujah, that even now, even though my brother is dead and you just showed up right now, and I know if you had been here, you would have prevented him from dying, but he's dead now. But she said that first in the flesh, see, and then the spirit kicked in and she said, well, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give it to thee. Amen. Hallelujah. That reminds me of a scripture in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. I love that scripture. It said, for the word of God is quick and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. This is exactly what the word of God does. In your soul is where you have the emotions. And sometimes those emotions will be unbelief, fear, doubt, and all of this. But the word of God in your spirit was separate between the two. And though your spirit, I mean, though your soul is trying to be afraid, is trying to be unbelieving, is trying to be this and that and so forth, you know, the word of God can separate between the two. And your spirit latches onto the word of God and you can say, despite my situation, amen. Nevertheless, I know that even now, you can do great things for me. Amen. So she latched on to the word of God. But that's not all. Let's see some more elements in this story. Now, so Jesus turns to her and says, I'm back to John chapter 11 and verse 23. Jesus turns to her and says, well, your brother shall rise again. Amen. Amen, somebody. And then Martha goes on and says, well, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. See? Now, that's another lesson for us. Now, Martha, she believed God. Just like every believer, there is hardly any believer that doesn't know that the Lord can do all things. Everybody believes that, you know, who are believers. They believe that God can do all things. But the question is, when you are faced with a specific situation, like in this case. So, Jesus tells her one thing, your brother will rise again. Well, she goes off and spiritualizes it. Well, I know he's going to rise in the resurrection. You know, and so forth. And Jesus said, I'm not talking about that. I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Right here. Right now. If you can only believe. Amen. Amen, somebody. Amen. Let me read it to you. Jesus said to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. You don't need to look for some other resurrection somewhere. I am the resurrection and the life right here. And there are many times that Jesus said, I am, and displays who he is. And this is one of them. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But he goes on to say, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now that's a hard saying. And so Jesus turns around and said to her, believest thou this? You know, she really didn't have an answer for that one. So she said, well, Lord, I mean, she dug down in her spirit and said, well, I know you are the Christ, the living God. I mean, the Son of the living God that should come into the world. But Jesus says to her, do you believe that whosoever is living and believing in me shall never die? So it may be a little confusing to her, as it is to many people today, you know. Now, another lesson to learn from that is this. You may believe and know that God is able to do all things. But when you have a particular situation, do you believe that he can do that particular thing? That's the question here, you know. I mean, there are many of us sitting here who have loved ones. I've lost loved ones. I've lost both of my parents and I've lost my brother and so forth, you know. But when Jesus said to Martha, I mean, if it was you, put yourself in that situation. Your brother died. Your sister, your mother, your uncle, whatever it is, your loved one, they died and they are already in the grave. And somebody comes along and says, your brother will live again. You know, and you say, well, yeah, I mean, I know he will live again in the resurrection. You know, that's exactly the mindset of everybody. Because once people die, they believe that they are dead and they are gone. You know, I remember I went to one place in 2008 in the Philippines. It wasn't that. It was Tanzania. And we went there to preach. And I think the first or second day into the thing, you know, was supposed to be about 8 or 10 days. We heard that one of the pastors lost somebody in their family. Oh, so I said to somebody, I said, oh, wow, in this meeting that we're here, nobody is dying this during this time. So I said, take me to their house. You know, and I go to their house, you know, and I'm told that, I said, why is everybody crying? I said, the daughter and so forth. I said, well, the girl shall live again. Amen. And everybody looked at me funny and they put me out. They said, well, no. You know, we don't do that. You know, the girl is being buried. I said, what do you mean? Even though she's been buried, she can rise again. See, but, it was very strange. Nobody believed it. You know, and because they didn't believe it, well, you know, and they said, well, you know, don't trouble the man and so forth. His daughter is dead. And they live in some Muslim area there, even though some of them are coming out and believing God. And they believe that, you know, they just bury somebody real quick and it's done. You know. And the Bible says sometimes Jesus couldn't do any miracles there because of their unbelief. You know. But if you had a loved one that died, do you believe that Jesus can raise them again? I'm not talking about the resurrection now. Do you believe that Jesus can raise the dead? Well, let's read the story. So she went away, called her sister and so forth. Said, your master is calling for you. And everybody, you know, they come back and so forth. And then Jesus said, where have you laid him? So they came here. And there's a verse here in verse 35 that they say that Jesus wept. Because people have always wondered, why is it that Jesus wept? You know, and they said, well, what this man that opened the eyes of the blind, did all of these things, could he not have prevented this other person from dying? Well, of course he could have. But Jesus knew what he was doing. But the agony that the people were feeling and their unbelief also got to the Lord Jesus. And he cried. You know, he wept because the other people were weeping. Not because of himself. He already knew himself what he was going to do. Amen. So he says unto them, groaning, you know, he was groaning in the spirit and so forth. You know, and he said unto them, roll away that stone. Amen. That's in verse 39. Roll away the stone. Take ye away the stone. And Martha said, oh, no. Lord, he's already 4 days in there. He's already stinking. You know, he's been there 4 days. And Jesus said, did I not say unto you that if thou wouldest only believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? You know, so Jesus put forth, you know, shut up that unbelief right there. And he's going to do something here that's going to be recorded in this book that we are all going to be reading today. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, so he goes up and he prays. Well, Jesus didn't need to be praying there. He had already prayed all night long, you know. But for the sake of the people, that they may believe that the Father sent him, he said, Father, I thank thee because thou hast already heard me. And I know that you hear me always. But because of the people that are standing around, I say this prayer so that they may believe that you have sent me. Amen. And then he turns to the grave. Now, this man's been dead 4 days, remember. So he turns to the grave and says, Lazarus! Come forth. Hallelujah. Now, how many people can have that kind of faith? You go to the grave where somebody has been buried for 4 days or shorter or longer, and you call them forth, and everybody's standing around. So everybody's looking around and say, well, he's done, he outdone himself this time. What is he going to do now? You know? What if, you know, and people are thinking. And then there's a dead silence right after that loud shout that he shouted. And I think if you dropped a pin, you would have heard it. So everybody's waiting. I mean, there's this wait. And it was just a few seconds, but it seemed like an eternity. And they're just waiting. They're just looking. Everybody's looking. And all of a sudden, here comes somebody out of the grave. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap, somebody. Lazarus! He came forth. Because the Bible says that the hour is coming and now is. And everyone that is in the grave will hear his voice. And when he calls, you know, will you hear his voice? That's right. The people that have been dead for thousands of years, you know, when he calls, they'll hear his voice. If they were believing as of the time they lived and died, and if they trusted, put their faith in the Lord, he's going to call them out of those graves. Amen. You know, I've watched a few movies on the rapture and so forth, you know, and but I've never really seen a good one that showed the graves opening up. Amen. You know, people always talk about people being caught up. Well, we know they will be caught up, but the dead in Christ will rise first. And I don't care how long they've been dead, they will rise first. They're going to come out of those graves. And Jesus proved it in Matthew 27. When Jesus died, the Bible says that the veil in the temple was rent in twain. And the graves were opened. And many of the bodies of the saints that slept woke up. But they stayed right there. They are waiting for their turn. Because Jesus is the first fruits, amen, of the real resurrection. Now, Lazarus was resurrected in this same flesh. Because he probably died again. He's not around now. And many of the people that have been raised from dead, we know people that have been raised from dead. They lived on many years and then they finally died. Because they were resurrected in the same flesh. But Jesus was resurrected in a new form. Amen. And that's the new form that he promised to every one of us. Now, the lessons we see throughout this story are many. For the sake of time, I'm going to leave it at those. But I want to go back to the ones that I've already said. The first thing we see is that God may allow a situation, sometimes even something that seems tragic. But if you look for God, it might be for the glory of God. Amen. Amen, somebody. Now, Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 18, turn with me quickly, verses 7 and 8. He was talking about, shall God not avenge his elect? This is Luke 18, verses 7 and 8. Shall God not avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, even though he bears long with them? That's a scripture which you should put in your mind today. Even though God takes his time, will he not avenge? Will he not come and show up in your situation? But sometimes it looks like, well, all hope is lost and so forth. Jesus said, no, verily I say unto you, you know, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Speedily. Even though it looks as at first as if he delays, but nevertheless, when he comes, shall he find faith on the earth? You know, I like to say that like this. When the Lord finally shows up into your situation, will you still be standing at the point of faith, or would you have given up? A lot of people give up at the last minute. Long hope wearies the heart. So they've been believing God for a long time, and they finally just give up. And God was just around the corner. You know, don't you ever give up. Amen. He will come to you speedily. There's a story in the book of Luke chapter 5. Similar situation, but kind of different. Now this turns into situations that we have. It's not only death that we're talking about today. Peter and his friends, they went out a fishing, and this was in their trade, in their business, and they were doing it, you know, all day long, and they caught nothing. They caught nothing. So Jesus shows up after they were all worn out and they had spent the whole day and did nothing. I mean, wouldn't you think that the Lord could have blessed them a little bit, shown them a token for good the whole time while they were out fishing? They could have caught something. Yeah, but why did the Lord have to wait until they were all, you know, burnt out? They had nothing going for them and they were all fatigued. And then he finally shows up. Well, because God is on his own calendar. Amen. Amen, somebody. That's right. So when Jesus shows up, in verse 4, he tells them, well, do this. Cast your net over here on the side and pull in. And they said, you know, Peter, the first thing he says, he said, Lord, we have been doing this all night and we have caught nothing. See, that's the flesh speaking again. But immediately, he turns into, he looks within and says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will do what you said. Amen. That's again the dividing, the separating between the soul and the spirit. The soul sometimes doesn't like to believe anything. You know, it's doubtful and all of those things and has all those emotions and so forth. But the spirit, you know, when the word of God is in there, can latch onto the God, towards God's word, regardless of the situation. And when they did, you know the rest of the story, they pulled in something that they couldn't, their boat was almost sinking. Now, Some of you may be laboring and toiling in business or in whatever it is. You know, and so far, and it looks like God's never going to show up. He will too. Amen. And in 1 minute, he can change that situation. He can turn things around for you that will blow your mind. Amen. And that's exactly what he did for Peter. He blew their minds because in 1 minute, he changed that whole situation, all that toil all day long. They usually start very early in the morning. You know, they go out fishing in the deep thing and so forth, deep ocean. And then in the, you know, towards the evening, they start coming back, you know. And all that time, they caught nothing, you know. But the Lord, when he showed up, he changed that story. Amen. Praise you, the name of the Lord. Now, what is it that you are facing today? Regardless of whatever it might be a situation in a family. You have been praying for a long time. You might say, well, you know, when is the Lord ever going to show? And it looks as if he is delaying. He knows exactly what he's doing. Amen. And if you can find faith in every situation and look for the Lord, you will see that it might turn out to be for the glory of God. You know, and the Lord said to him, look, this is not about death. And even though the guy died, but Jesus already said this is not about death. That means the guy cannot stay dead. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's like when Jesus gets in the boat and say, let's go to the other side. Well, let's go to the other side means let's go to the other side. And then when you are in the boat, all hell breaks loose. The storm and raging tempest and everything tries to destroy you. But remember, he said, let us go to the other side. Amen. And if you had remembered that, if they would have remembered that that's what he said, they would have not panicked. Because the word of God will sustain itself. Amen. Once it is spoken, it will come to pass exactly as it is spoken. Praise ye the name of the Lord. It might be a situation in business. It might be finances. It might be whatever it is. You know, when Jesus shows up, just like he did here, and he said, roll away the stone. Now, he has the ability to command legions, not of devils, but of angels. Amen. That's right. And even legions of devils, they fall down at his feet. Now, he can say on your behalf to the angels, roll away the stone that's keeping him down, keeping him back, and all of that and so forth. Roll away the stone. Hallelujah. And when they rolled away the stone, this guy comes for, but he's still bound. And Jesus doesn't stop there. We preached this already a few weeks ago. He doesn't stop there, and he'll come to you again and say, loose him and let him go free. Amen. He will touch you again, loose you, and you may go free. Now, Jesus doesn't want his people to be bound. Jesus doesn't want us to be in the graves. Amen. Together with my dead body. As my dead body arises, so shall ye live, also saith the Lord. Now, we should not be behind any stones, walls, gates of brass, bars of iron, and all of these things. There are prison doors that need to be broken. And Jesus has the power to do it. You know, he proved it to people time and time again. And this one, he wanted to show them that not even dead person in the grave. Now, there's been times that he raised somebody that just died, you know, and so forth. So they may say, well, you know, maybe he just died. Maybe he really didn't die. Well, this other fellow was in the grave for 4 days. And he was already degenerating, so to speak. And Jesus comes upon the scene and he shows them that the Son of God has power over life and death. Amen. And he appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos and said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I now have the keys of hell and death. How do you suppose he got it? Well, he went down and whooped the devil from pillar to post, got those keys. Amen. Praise the Lord. I always like to drop that in because it makes the devil mad. But who cares? He can be mad and he can go down to hell because that's where he is going. But the saints of God are going to be free in Jesus' mighty name. And don't let the devil scare you. Jesus already whooped him. The Bible says he spoiled principalities and powers. He made an open show of them. Hallelujah. And Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 says, through death, you can read it from verses 10 through 14, through death, he now delivered those who all their lifetime were subject to bondage because of the fear of death. Some people are always afraid of this and that, what the devil is going to do. Well, why is it that you are afraid of a man, said the Lord, and forget it, I, the maker of heaven and earth. And you are trembling every day because of the fury of the oppressor. And where is the fury of the oppressor compared to the Lord? There is nothing that is a match for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a hand clap for that, everybody. Amen. Now, today, I have a few minutes left. And I'm going to pray that the Lord will roll away the stone. Amen. I am going to pray that whatever has been holding you back, God's going to break the chains, break the shackles, cut asunder the gates of brass, break in pieces the bars of iron, roll away the stone, and have you come out victorious. Amen. And when you do, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And if there's any entanglement still there, you know, lose all those things. Lose all the chains. And put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is also coming again, folks. And by the reason of his resurrection, we're here today to announce that the Lord Jesus is coming back. Now, if Jesus were still in the grave, because he told, you know, in the book of Acts chapter 1, when he was about to be taken up, the angel said, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus that you see taken up now, he shall so come in like manner. Amen. Now, if he was still in the grave, we wouldn't have a hope of his coming again. And in the first early church, the Lord, by the power of the Spirit, was upon the believers to give witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was their mission. Today, our mission is to use the resurrection of Jesus Christ to prove his second coming. Amen. Because he's not in the grave, folks. He is coming again. Now, today, you say, well, you know, I've got a situation that is above my head. You know, I've got, you know, well, Martha and Mary did. They had a situation that was above their heads. They had something, their brother was dead. It looked as if the Lord wouldn't come. They sent to him and he didn't show up. And even delayed 2 days longer. You know, and by the time he finally showed up, they were weary. They'd been praying, probably having night vigil. You know, praying all night long and so forth, believing God for a miracle and so forth. But the situation keeps getting worse. See? First, the guy was sick. And all of a sudden, you know, it keeps getting worse and keep getting worse. And he died. The whole time they are believing God. And they are praying. And they are sending message to the master and so forth. Come! You know? And their situation is getting worse. You know, that may be like some of us here today. You may be praying and believing God for something, but it seems like your situation keeps getting worse. But I got good news for you. Jesus is on his way. Amen. But when he comes, will he still find you at the point of faith? Can you believe today that the Lord is able to do the specific thing that you are believing God for? We know God is able to do all things. God created the world and he does all of these things and so forth. And we've read all these miracles in the Bible and we know all these things. But when it comes to believing for the specific situation that you are in right now, believers have this, that he is able to do it, you know. And sometimes, you know, we're looking to this, we're looking to that. Like Martha and Mary are saying, well, if you would have been here 4 days ago, my brother would not have died. Well, but he's here now. Amen. You know, so it's not always what we think, and it's not always how we think it's going to be that he's going to do it. Another story real quick in John chapter 5. The man who was lame for 38 years, looking to the stirring of the water and so forth, because he thought that's the place that his miracle was coming from. And because he couldn't get there fast enough because he was lame, somebody always got in ahead of him and got the miracle. And when Jesus showed up, Jesus asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And he looked at him, "Well, of course, and I'm waiting for the water." And Jesus said, "Forget the water." Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Forget the water. Jesus is right here. You don't need to wait for the stirring of the water. You don't need to wait for the angel to come once a year. The Lord is right here. Amen. The same thing that he told Martha. You don't need to wait for the resurrection in the last day. I'm right here right now. Hallelujah. I'm right here right now. Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet and I'm going to pray. Jesus is right here right now. Now, some of us are, you know, hoping and believing God, you know, that when we get to heaven, he'll wipe away our tears. He'll wipe away all our sorrows. And he will do that. But you don't need to wait to heaven before he can wipe away your tears. Right now, today, he can change your situation. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, I want you to lift your hands up. And I'm going to pray. Now, if you want the Lord to roll away some stones for you, thank you, Jesus. If you want to experience the power of that resurrection in your situation, now, it's not only about death. It could be anything that's holding you back. I want all heads bowed in this place. Don't be looking around and so forth. Everybody put your hands down. Don't look around. But I'm going to pray this prayer for just a few people, not everybody. But if you are one of the people that believe that it is time for God to roll away your stone, or if he has rolled away the stone but you are still in grave clothes and come out and so forth, and you need a breakthrough still, if that's you, I want to see your hand up. I'm going to ask the Lord to do something special for you here this morning. Now, remember, today is Resurrection Sunday that everybody all over the world is celebrating. You know, but, you know, right now, right here, I am come that they might have life, and that abundantly. Jesus wants you to experience something. Now, those of you that lifted your hands, come real quick and stand in front of me here. And I'm going to ask the Lord to do something special. I already prayed this prayer before I came here today, that whoever will respond to this prayer, the Lord will roll away the stone for them. Hallelujah. Now, you're not here because of me. You're listening to the Word of God. The Word of God is motivating you to do something. Now, there's a different anointing in every service. A different anointing. Now, Lord Jesus, all the people that are here, Lord, in front here, raise up your hands, every one of you. Roll away the stone for them in Jesus' name. The Lord said to Ezekiel one time, prophesy to the winds. And let the winds blow upon the dead bones. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we command the angels that excel in strength to roll away the stones for you. In Jesus' name. Every stone that kept you or your loved ones down, move out of place. In Jesus' name. Now, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Open ye the gates and let the righteous nation come in. Open the doors, open the gates for the people of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Roll away the stone for them, Lord. And work a miracle. And let their hearts believe you, Lord, until the end, in the name of Jesus. And we know you are never late. You are always on time. We give you the praise. Because you are on time for every one of these people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will have a testimony. Their lives will be full of resurrection praise. In the name of Jesus Christ. We give you, Lord, the glory. We give you, Lord, the praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody shout hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The Lord bless all of you. Praise God.